Thanks for joining Genfinity's Constellation Hypercast. We're just waiting for some people to jump in, and we're going to make them speakers, so just bear with us.
I should mention Sam Bankman-Fried was found guilty on all seven counts. I'm kind of wondering what kind of punishment that I'll get for that one, but I guess we'll find out. It would be something if you get slapped on the wrist or something crazy.
And can anybody in the audience that is going to be speaking, go ahead and raise a hand for me? I think we have Robin coming up. Now we got Ben from Constellation, I believe. Anybody else?
Good evening / good morning, or middle of the night for some, I guess.
Hi, Ben. How you doing?
How's it going?
It's going good. Good evening on my part of the world. So.
Hey, who is this speaking?
This is Darren speaking.
Darren. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is literally the definition of crypto never sleeps. Although I think we all sleep now a little bit. I think Robin's here too.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I invited him up.
Okay.
Let me see if I can send another one out for him.
And Jason of Bit4x is joining pretty soon here too.
Awesome. Yeah, this is right in the middle of NFL Thursday. Just want to let you guys know.
Yeah, I feel you on that one.
Hi, guys. Pleasure to meet you. This is Jason.
Hi, Jason. Nice to meet you.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for joining. I know it's earlier time, right?
It's not that early. It's 10 a.m. on my time zone.
Oh, yeah. You're right in the middle of your work day.
Hi, Robin O'Connell here as well.
Hi, Robin. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Hey, Robin. Great to meet you. Great to chat with you.
Excellent. Thanks for having me.
I think we're just missing Holly and Kenson. Is that correct? Or is...
I don't believe they're joining, but they just wanted some visibility into it. So it doesn't seem like Holly's joining. I don't think Kenson will be here either.
Oh, all right. All right. Then I'll start. So Constellation Hypercast delves into the intricacies and advancements of one of the world's most exciting DLT ecosystems, and we're shedding a light on potential impacts of various industries. None of this information should be taken as financial advice, and Genfinity is sponsored media partner of Constellation Network. And I just want to welcome all the guests. We have Ben's Night. We have Jason from Bit4x, and we have Holly from Uphold. How are you guys tonight?
Oh, and Robin.
Good.
Robin from Uphold.
You've actually got Robin from Uphold. Yeah. How are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. Robin from Uphold. I'm sorry.
I'll try to represent.
Yeah, I Darren, I don't mind if I jump in here. Just wanted to say I thought this was kind of fun putting this together. Because the last spaces I was on with you guys, the cross chain last week, there's a lot of like pitching from projects, and I thought today would be kind of more fun to kind of talk through just kind of industry trends and what exchanges are seeing on the front line, because it's a rare opportunity to actually turn the mic back on exchanges to talk versus the projects. And so hopefully this adds a new dynamic, especially after we saw the Sam Bankman-Fried verdict come out, which is fascinating, all part of history. So I'll let you take it from here, Darren.
Yeah, you got seven counts. I got it has to be some type of record. So you know, hopefully there's actually some time involved if there is fraud involved. But I mean, I guess he found guilty, so there is fraud involved. So I'd like to start off with introductions with everyone. If I can just get an introduction and just kind of your background, how you got into crypto and what you're currently doing.
Sure. Do you want me to go? Any order?
Hey, go for it, Robin.
Okay, cool. Nice to meet everybody. I'm Robin O'Connell, coming to you from California. I am the CEO of Uphold's enterprise unit. So I'll get into the whole what is Uphold and what do I do in enterprise. But I've been in crypto since 2015. My background is in payments. I've worked at a bunch of different fintech startups. So kind of come at it from traditional payments, but you know, I guess I'm an OG at 2015. I've been at Uphold for about 8 years.
And Jason from Bitforex.
Hi guys, this is Jason. So I'm CEO of the Bitforex. We are a centralized cryptocurrency exchange and launched since 2017. So basically, we have a global user base covered in the United States, Europe, Korea, Japan, and Asia's market as well. We are mainly focusing on the spot market derivative and also focusing on the secondary market investment. That's really glad to meet you guys here and happy to share our thoughts and ideas.
Yeah, thanks for jumping on. I know sometimes it's hard to get to these, so I appreciate everybody's time. And last but not least, but Ben, can you share your background?
Yeah, Ben Jorgensen here, CEO of Constellation. I've been the CEO of Constellation almost 6 years at this point. Actually, it is rounding 6 years. It's kind of crazy. We are an infrastructure layer protocol that's focused on allowing developers to build metagraphs, which are customizable subnetworks built on top of our hypergraph layer zero. The most notably, people know us for having a working relationship with United States government, with the DOD, and that's been expanding to other agencies where we're solving problems around data resilience and data management. Using the distributed ledger technology. I just want to say thanks, Robin, for jumping on. I'm also in California too. So this is
okay. Yeah, nice.
So I'm with you. But I really appreciate you both CEOs jumping on and kind of sharing some thought leadership here.
Fantastic.
So it seems like crypto is diverging from the traditional markets, and we're seeing a lot of liquidity come from securities and equities and into crypto. Do you think that's an accurate statement, to Robin?
Sure. Yeah. I think there's probably some truth in that. I mean, definitely there's a shift in out of the stock market, I think, into other places where you can, you know, get more yield. I mean, I think certainly there's a shift out of equities into, other yield bearing, securities, but also I feel like we're kind of coming out of this lull, or at least that's what we're seeing on our side. We've had a pretty good year, and actually, I didn't get a chance to. I sort of just focused on myself and said what I did. But for those of you who don't know, Uphold is a we've been around since 2014. We're also a global multi digital wallet. We're supporting, I think, 300 digital assets on multiple chains. And we're actually not an exchange per se. We're more connected to all of the exchanges and allow for a really simple interface on the consumer side, where a user can just go from, you know, anything to anything instantaneously. And that's, you know, I'll hopefully at some point explain, you know, what our relationship is with Constellation. So we do see, I think we have we have about 2 billion in assets in our platform right now. And it's been a pretty good year, but we're starting to see some uptick for sure.
Yeah, and it's definitely visible in the charts and everything. Jason, what are your thoughts? Do you think that we're seeing a divergence from traditional markets into the crypto markets?
Okay. So actually, we have seen a growing trend of the traditional market investors and traders looking to diversify their portfolio with crypto asset. However, we believe that crypto is diverging from the traditional market due to its unique properties, but such as decentralizations and centralization transactions. As the crypto market continues to mature, we expect to see more liquidity coming from the traditional market into the crypto market, helping to solidify its position as a legitimate asset class. Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, if I would prefer if my equities were in crypto, so I can easily go in and out of stable coins back into crypto and back and forth. Ben, what's your thoughts on this? Do you think that the markets are diverging to some degree?
Yeah, I think you know, we're starting to see that people are from my sense is maybe not from the exchange perspective, but I do see a lot of capital investment into crypto projects. And the technology, right? So there's more inflow coming in to use the technology. There's more curiosity. People are starting to trust it again. It's still going to take time, but we all like calculated that. And you're starting to see it happen again. And it feels good. So I would have to agree that there is a little bit coming into the space that makes you, there's more maturity in the market. There's more accountability from projects. It's very different than it was in 2018, 2019. You know, technologies and use cases are becoming applicable. And so, you know, I'm starting to hear investors start to take interest because there's actual legs on the business that are built around cryptocurrencies. And so I think that's a really positive sentiment that people are starting to evaluate cryptocurrency companies like they do with a lens in venture capital. And so I think that's really important for the evolution of companies coming into the space, and also important for institutional capital, more traders coming into the space, is there's more meat on the bones.
Yeah, so everyone's talking about a bull market. However, it's really unclear where the next tranche of liquidity will come from. Can any of the panelists elaborate and walk us through where you think liquidity will come from and in what form?
I'll leave that to the exchange folks. I mean, I guess that my thinking on all this is, you know, and especially with Constellation, right? That, you know, we have to enter a phase of blockchains, you know, coming through and producing on real life use cases and activity, right? And that's what's really going to drive things, versus, because we've been in a long period of time of, okay, well, you know, I'm going to invest in this project or in this blockchain or this protocol, you know, because I think it's going to grow and provide value, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's, I think that hopefully that's where really the additional activity is coming from. Someone else might do a better job explaining kind of from financial standpoint where the liquidity is coming from. But I do think that's important to call out that, you know, this isn't just, you know, the stock market, right? These are protocols that are driving new use cases, real volumes, real activity, and the scorecard should basically be tied to that, in my opinion.
Yeah, Robin, I completely agree. I mean, you know, when I start looking at how do we attract new liquidity, it really comes in from crypto projects, layer one protocols, being able to tap into systems integrations, start to look at how do you attract new users that haven't been educated on crypto outside of our the landscape of speculators. And that comes through like traditional businesses. And, you know, I feel like I've talked with a lot of projects, as probably you have too, in that, you know, they're really looking at how do they attract small businesses, and their use cases are like some of the most simple use cases that I think if you were to tell people back in 2018, with like the craze of protocols, that like that was going to be your use case, like very simple stuff. Like for us, it's, you know, one is like collecting data from a foot traffic sensor and putting that on chain at scale. Like they would have laughed at you because it wasn't like grandiose enough. And now we're like, okay, let's just start chipping away at the block and getting like little use cases that can really be expansive and set an example for more businesses to put their, a lot of their operations on chain. I don't know, Jason, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so definitely everyone is expecting and waiting for the bull market. However, what I felt and what we think is that the bull market is not only related with one category or one individual project. It will be related with the whole crypto industry new concept. We can look back a little bit. In 2017, we see the bull market is really coming from the ICO. Because that's there's a lot of projects able to raise money. There's a lot of the creative ideas and concepts. However, some of the projects are unable to play out. But some of the projects, they are able to last to the current moment. And then in 2020 and 21, I think, is the bull market is the lead for DeFi. So based on these two really, really good, a real bull market, we can see there's a new concept that able to generate a huge wealth situations for the whole crypto industry, and in the same time generate a new concept. That's why what we think is that when the next bull market, there's definitely a new concept that able to lead the whole crypto market into the next step. Well, it's very difficult to predict where the next trend or liquidity will be coming from. We believe that the significant growth in the crypto market will definitely require mainstream adoptions, for example, like an ETF. And institutional adoptions. Retail investors and traders have been a primary market for the cryptocurrency, but the institution adoption remains a key driver to growth. So to attract new investors and traders, crypto infrastructure have to come to proof in areas as a user experience, security, and compliance. Then, what we think is that that will be a new direction for the next bull market. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. And I mean, part of this, though, is like government policies, right? Like I just saw Japan had an Inflation Reduction Act where they ended up giving their citizens like over a couple $100 billion. So to me, I'm just seeing just trust in fiat currencies being eroded, and that has to have some type of play into the whole crypto world as a whole to begin with. But so let's get to understanding the next major user base in crypto, where the US has their setbacks and is pushing innovation outside of the country. Where are we seeing the most adoption? The UAE, Hong Kong, would those two be the major areas, or are there others?
I'd like to throw in for Latin America. I mean, we see a lot of real life use cases in Latin America, and it's really to the point which you started with, which is to say that, you know, fiat currency, traditional banking, doesn't work that great in lots of countries, and so, you know, if you're a freelancer in Colombia, might prefer to get paid in crypto. It's faster. You may prefer to hold it in a US stablecoin than putting it in your local bank account. We see a lot of that activity. And so for us, we like that because it's sort of, you know, a place where you're actually seeing crypto and blockchain utilized in large volumes, and those volumes are really driven by, you know, real business activity.
Thanks, Robin. Jason, I'd love for you to chime in. I know you and I had a separate call the other day that you had some strong opinions on this. You know, from ours, it's a simple perspective of developer adoption. Maybe not in terms of the new user base for exchanges, but we're seeing a lot of development, positive development, come out of South America, like you said, LATAM and India specifically. But Jason, I'm sure you have a better a take on it from an exchange.
Yeah, definitely. So actually for Bitforex, our current largest user base is coming from United States and Europe. After that will be the Asia's market. We still believe that the United States will be leading for the innovations because the whole infrastructures of the technology and innovations in the United States very matured. Currently, as we know, that China has really fully banned for the crypto market. However, if we take a look on the previous record, the data result, China is one of the largest populations who trade largest amount of the cryptocurrency. But the left, but however, currently that will be not legal to trade cryptocurrency by using the fiat, which is RMB. Well, if on the regulated market, we felt India, Korea, and Indonesia will be a very interesting and potential market to grow. I'm not sure it's correct or not, but I think India is really become largest populations in the world. And Indonesia, they have the fourth largest populations in the world. Among the global tech companies, we can see there's always senior developers or programmers from India. And among those high-tech companies, we always can see Indians be as management or CEO. So actually, India's market and Indians, they are picking up very fast. And in the same time, so they are also very bullish on the cryptocurrencies. They are very supporting on this kind of tech company to growth. Indonesia, they are already providing a license to those cryptocurrency exchange. And in the same time, so they are trying to also adopt the cryptocurrency and the blockchain concept into their daily life and community as well. Korea, also a very interesting community and country as well. In the early stage, Korea, they have to issue the regulations against crypto because there are so many scam projects. However, they are not fully banned crypto. They are trying to regulate it. I think in next years, Korea government going to release a new crypto laws will be very clearly to status which project how to onboard on the domestic Korean exchange, which is definitely going to help those Korean project and community understand also grow their community also on board on the secondary market in their domestic market as well. Yeah.
Thanks, Jason. And Ben, do you have any further thoughts or?
No, I'm good. I just want to listen to those two talk.
So the centralized exchanges have gone through an evolution over the past few years. What will be the key ingredients for centralized exchanges to be successful for the next adoption curve? Compliance, proof of reserves? Oh, what do you guys think?
Oh, yeah. That's kind of a layup, especially with the FTX. Uphold. If you go to uphold.com/transparency, it's really cool. I think we're the only company, fintech, that does this. Forget about crypto. Basically, you can see exactly what's on our platform by digital asset, by fiat currency, and you can keep refreshing it. And it's basically real time. So it's a real time view into our finances, basically. And we've been doing that since 2014. There are a lot of companies that sort of scrambled, you know, when FTX went down, because it was pretty obvious that that's kind of a key ingredient for success, that, you know, sadly with FTX, you know, the industry lost a lot of trust. we were actually founded kind of coming out of the 2008 banking crisis, and we were trying to basically, and still are, you know, trying to create a better way for people to I can't say better bank, but a better because we're not a bank, but a better sort of financial setup where we're over reserved, we're not fractionally reserved, because that's, you know, obviously problematic as well. And one that's like completely transparent. So I'm going to hammer on transparency as being, you know, the key ingredient, because tied in with transparency is trust. And, you know, as an industry, we've obviously, you know, taken it on the chin, you know, with a lot of bad actors. And so if we really are going to, you know, become more mainstream, bring in, you know, more liquidity, bring in more participation, et cetera, we got to drive trust. And I think transparency, you know, tied into that, obviously security, the compliance piece, all of that plays into it. Those are the key ingredients, I think.
Thanks, Rob. And Jason, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so compliance is definitely a key ingredient for the centralized exchange. So Bitforex, currently we are holding the Canada's license, and in the same time, we are already operate 5 years in the market. Currently, we don't have any incidents regarding that. However, that is very, very sadly to say, cryptocurrency and blockchain should be resolve this kind of trust issues. However, no matter on which exchange they currently operating, no matter they are providing or release the fund reserve as a trust, it's still unable to fully prevent the FTX issues. So basically, a centralized exchange, when you are running a centralized exchange, it's not about like you get compliance, you get regulated. It's kind of like a ethical ways to control whether you are going to do something about it. For Bitforex, currently, we are still dedicating to trying to find an alternative ways, which is we are trying to develop and to research. How can we become a semi-decentralized exchange, which is on the user's asset, they are still able to keep within their wallets. And in the same time, they are able to have an experience of the centralized trading functions, no matter on the hedging, API, etc. We hope on the blockchain's infrastructure get more matured and more advanced. We hope that we are able to accomplish these goals for the Bitforex. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Jason. And Ben, do you have something on it?
Yeah, I mean, what they said is like pretty spot on, right? Like, I mean, if you've been in this space for a while, that's all you've dealt with is compliance. I mean, the lawyers win. Our lawyers say the SEC keeps them busy. It's kind of funny. It's still a part of our DNA of figuring out this realm of innovation. So, I think that's always going to be a part of the backbone until we kind of push out more of the bad actors. But, you know, like Jason said, the FTX thing was about business ethics, right? It wasn't a crypto problem. It was an individual and organizational, parasite, right? That to me was like a sign of maturity in the space. Okay, we are starting to get more legs on ourselves, but you know, now we've got an Enron situation on our hands. So the big thing is like, how do you do this and not, how do they do this correctly and not stifle innovation? I've been very outspoken about how they've stifled innovation in the space and pushed a lot of people out of America into other countries, and it's kind of like sad to see that we're just pushing entrepreneurship away. Now we have to do that in an accountable way, but I think we're in this passage of transparency that started when people started questioning the ethics of Facebook and the use of their data. And that's, you know, that started in like 2015. And now we're starting to see technology come out around transparency and auditability and accountability. So that theme is only going to get stronger as kind of knowledge is just consumed differently and expectations amongst communities are in the same light of transparency.
Yeah, well said. And I mean, like you guys were saying, like, this isn't just a crypto issue. You know, there's Bernie Madoff, there's all these people that did horrible things in the traditional system, yet, you know, they act like Sam Bankman-Fried is a crypto only incident that could happen. So one of the things that I'd like to see more of from exchanges is pushing the technology and helping people discover innovation. Crypto is a free market of early stage tech companies. These early stage companies need fundamental support and marketing around their project, not just returns. How are Bit4x and Uphold educating the user base, and how can exchanges do a better job at disseminating knowledge to holders?
Sure, I'll start with that. I would say that I mean education, you know, that's happening right now. We're out there, we're getting the word out, etc. But I think more important than that is the what you touched on, providing the tools. So you know, Uphold is a platform at its core, right? Like you see the app, and that's what, you know, individuals can interact with to get the anything to anything technology. But the key piece that we're trying to do is allowing other projects that, you know, don't have millions of dollars and years to devote to compliance and licensing and bank connectivity and payment connectivity, et cetera, et cetera. And we're providing that support. We do it through APIs. So this is what I work on. I run our enterprise group. We recently launched a tool called Topper, which is an on-ramp. And so what you can have is you can have a lot of these, and I hope that Ben talks about some of the projects that's happening on Constellation, but, you know, every one of these projects that's happening on blockchain is going to need at some point the connectivity to the traditional banking system. And as soon as you do that, it triggers the hard stuff that we just talked about, the compliance and so forth. And so, you know, how do we get the word out, and how do we, you know, provide the right tools for the mass market to start to participate in these projects? We do it by providing simple tools. In the case of Topper, it's just an easy way for somebody to, you know, do what they normally do, buy, you know, pull out their credit card or debit card and buy a digital asset that's required to participate in the project. And we do it in a way that, you know, sends it across the blockchain into that project. And so that then gives the project the ability to just focus on its business. And the hope is that with the right protocols and blockchains, and Constellation is a good example, you're going to get the right innovation, you're going to get the right companies, and that's what's going to, you know, drive overall mass market adoption.
And Jason, how does Bit4x go about this?
Yeah, education is definitely a fundamental aspect for our missions. Currently, Bit4x, we have around 6 million registered users, and we do have different regions have our investors as well. What we felt the education we did is kind of different with Robin. I think we are more mainly focusing on the community buildings and the individual users' educations. For example, we do have academies that are able to provide a tutorial and get understanding what is a blockchain. And in the same time, we will also conduct offline meetups to have to let people know how is a blockchain going to benefit in their daily life. What is a cryptocurrency? What will be related, or how is cryptocurrency going to be benefit you? And in the same time, so we also will be helping our projects communities able to, for example, able to implement into the real world usage. Yeah. We also will be have different investors that are giving the lectures to the university, to the community as well. Yeah. So definitely this is what we do at the current moment.
Yeah. Listening to you guys talk, it's kind of fun to think about how the whole space has evolved. And I think that even Genfinity did a piece on this with one of their, with an influencer, but you know, what Topper's doing and making an easy off ramp. Like when we all started this space, and Robin, said you got into 2015, even in 2018, there was no easy off ramp and on ramp. And it was like the intricacies of trying to, you know, get a Bitcoin, and then Bitcoin can get you into something else, but you had to like go through this.
Yeah, you'd have to take like 5-6 steps.
Totally.
Going from,
yeah. Or ask your buddy if he could give you some just to get in the game. And then, you know, then the exchanges started making it a little easier, but there was holding periods on your money, and the whole thing was just so like weird. But at the same time, you had this like, you have this spawn of like, well, crypto is weird, and you've got to do your own research, and you got to figure it out for yourself. There's like this ruthless, but there's something like very cypherpunk like about it that was very alluring and attractive. So like what Topper's doing is really amazing from that perspective. And like, hey, why shouldn't you have one place to get your education on ramp and then, you know, have all the exchanges come in? Like that's super helpful for, you know, especially like BitForex, you know, is trying to tap into new user bases. And people aren't like, well, is this exchange trusted or not? I remember in 2018 or 2019, something like that, I was having a talk with an exchange that I don't even think they're around anymore. You know, they popped up, centralized exchanges popped up like no tomorrow. So you got to give a shout out to the centralized exchanges that are still here through all this and the giant ebbs and flows and capital going in and out. But, you know, I always had a vision of working with decentralized exchanges around, and I talked to a few people and they shut the door on me. They're like, we'd never do that. And it was, why don't we offer transparency on your trade volume and your user base and actually show like to the public, you know, what transactions are really taking place? Is there wash trading? Is there malicious activity? And they were just like, yeah, that's not going to happen. That's way too hard. Well, a lot of what Constellation is doing is, you know, creating these networks that allow people to customize their network based off of external data feed. So like we're coming to this era that I'm really like going to make this big push with centralized exchanges to offer that level of transparency. And whether it's like proof of reserves, right? Like, oh, hey, we have the funds, trust us. Like that, you know, that caused a big issue over the last year. I don't know if many people saw that. But from a project's perspective, when you're talking with market makers and they're like, well, they're not showing proof of funds, so we don't want to market make on that. We're a little worried that there's going, I mean, like the whole FTX thing could have been avoided in so many levels had they like, you know, not to like sell the Metagraph, but had they created a Metagraph around their business operations and their exchange, there would have been some level of accountability without the giant overhead of a whole team providing that compliance and oversight. And like, so we are entering this age that like, you know, I'm hoping that exchanges start to use some of the core technology. Yeah, Binance created Binance Smart Chain, stuff like that. But actually getting into the technology and using it to learn and educate themselves as well as the users, because you know now we're entering an era where people want the information spoon-fed to them. We're not at the 2018 where it's like go dig through a white paper and tell me what you think, and if you can't figure it out, then you're an idiot. Now it's like, you got to spoon feed it to me. You got to tell me, you know, what you guys are doing, how it's going to grow. And that's operational accountability. That's a problem that extends across any business. And so it's kind of cool that we're able to use these tools to do more than just launch a cryptocurrency, which is really when exchanges started. So that was my piece.
I feel like some of those tools, like they bring forth some type of trust. Like it's like this idea that, you know, Uphold was like this transparency, right? This API access for Topper. These are the things that, these are the tools I think that can kind of move the space forward with having the ability to actually see transparently while all the other stuff's going on as traditional, you know, finance may come into the market through an ETF, like Jason was saying. I think that these all tie into each other, whether it's compliance, security, transparency, all these things kind of tie into each other. And it's really, really insightful to hear the insights that you guys have. It's awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. I think it's a fun time that we're seeing like the Zapier effect. If you know what Zapier, maybe that's just the tech side of me, but like where you had like if-then connections and dependencies that we're now starting to introduce dependencies or cross-platform communications based off of smart contracts. Like that's a lot of the stuff we're working with the Department of Defense, right? Alerting transparency, you know, at one time was like, well, why do you really need that? It's like now it's becoming a social agenda to have that creates the trust, which creates a, you know, a feedback loop of customer retention, you know, customer loyalty, all those things kind of flow into the customer life cycle.
Even from a compliance level, I mean, you think about it, it's like that's probably a big part of the compliance side or the regulation side, right? Like you have when you have transparency, some of that compliance has to be, I mean, not taken care of, obviously there's a lot to it, but at the end of the day it makes it seem to me like there should be a lot more collaboration to create transparency and get through these rules and all of these things and set a path forward for the market. Obviously if we have traditional finance coming into it through investment, like investments like ETFs and things like that in the future, there's going to be an influx. And these people, when they come into the market, they need to see some type of compliance, and whether that's through transparency or a hub for API access for that transparency. I think coming together, just as all of us are right now to talk about it, is one of those things that really makes me excited about the future of where we're going with, you know, innovation and how this is going to be adopted.
100%. A lot of that could be on chain. I mean, that's why ETFs, like, kudos to BlackRock for having the money to persevere through the legal nightmare and gray area of the law and go, hey, like, how do we just make this a standard? Because then so much more will come into the space. And that's been the frustrating part around being a protocol and an infrastructure layer and a mainnet token, native token, is that there's no clear guidelines. Like, I spend so much time on, like, I think after I get done with this whole business and build this thing to what it's supposed to be, I'll have this like crazy second muscle of just compliance knowledge and, you know, being able to work in a gray area, which would, if you had compliance documented, I mean, shit, if it was on chain and, or, you know, just even statements would help projects and innovation spur, you know, 20 times to what we see today. Like, it would help the whole space, but because there's so much ambiguity in the compliance realm, nobody knows what to do. And so they're like, oh my God, if I do this business, am I going to go to jail? Like it's, that's like not what you should be doing as an innovator. Definitely you should be, look at FTX, right? That's a business ethics thing. It's like when I'm talking about building a business, it's like, well, what can you and can't you do? Well, the SEC wants to go after people. They're not lawmakers, and judges are saying, well, you can't just go after people for that. That's, you know, what are you trying to say? You're trying to prove that this is a security or the, you know, this token's not in compliance. I might be getting off track a little bit, but I do think that we are entering I am very confident that regulation will benefit in a positive way because people will have the rules of engagement. to be able to build, succeed, and do it in a safe and constructive manner.
Well, I mean, like what you're bringing up is like Uphold's over collateralized, right? I look at how much collateral is for a lot of the assets. It's like 102%. It's not even just 100%. It's 102%. And like that 2% could probably go towards something that's more efficient. And if we actually knew the rules of the road, maybe that collateral requirement's really like 80%. You can use that capital for something that is better suited for expansion of the business, to put on more jobs, to do whatever, and to actually succeed. Yet, you know, the regulators are just stalling at every every step of the way. So I personally think that there needs to be more innovation coming from exchanges, and we need to leapfrog the moment where exchanges acquire more users and make it safe and easy to participate in crypto. How are Bitforex and Uphold innovating in this regard?
Sure. I think, you know, so for, I think we have about 30 million registered users at this point. We're just a bit on Uphold. We're regulated in the United States, Canada, UK, and Europe. Though we're able to work with, I think 180 different countries. So you can say Latin America. I think we may have about 2 million users in Latin America. But the only way that you can get the funds on in Latin America is either through a Visa MasterCard, which is, you know, not high penetration like you have in the United States, or through, you know, the crypto rails themselves. Or through, let's say, the freelance example I gave, where somebody, you know, a company is actually making a payout and they receive it in an Uphold account. So one of the things that we're doing is we're expanding kind of like our regulatory footprint, and then also where we're connected, making it easier for people to, you know, to put money on the platform. I mean, it sounds so simple, but it's certainly not simple. It's actually really complicated. But that's one of the ways is making the you know, making it more accessible to more people by making it easier for them to put funds on and off the platform. That's one. I think there's also we've been rapidly expanding the number of chains that we support. So I think we're at 20 something, but we're continuing to evaluate and you know, as more and more protocols are out there, there's more and more chains exposure and there's not like one clear winner, right? So you know, in order to support, you know, more projects and more ecosystems, you need to support more chains, making everything more interoperable. That's another thing. And then I guess it would go back to, you know, our strategy, which is, you know, okay, we have our retail app, but we get, right, we're just one wallet, right? We're, you know, amongst many. And, you know, while we like to think ours is superior, we may not be the superior for a particular use case or a particular region or whatever. And so that's where we, you know, are trying to work with, you know, other companies by just providing them the parts of Uphold that can help help them, you know, that they don't have to go through and doing that through, you know, tools where they can just bolt in a topper and have an, you know, add funds button or withdraw funds button, and just making it really simple for the end user.
And Jason, how about Bit4X?
Yeah, so definitely we are continuously expanding our user base. However, I think what we are providing, on my personal thoughts, compliance decentralized and transparency. In some kind of ways, they actually against each other. If you want to get fully compliance, you cannot be decentralized and to the communities or decentralized project, for example, as DeFi. But if you want to be as decentralized, definitely in some of the compliance regulation, you cannot be fulfilled. That's why in the beginning, what I said is that we hope BitForex, the final structure will be as a semi-decentralized cryptocurrency exchange. We are dedicating providing the crypto asset, no matter on trading, asset management, all the investments as well. However, we are a purely crypto-to-crypto trading platform. That's actually give a lot of the flexibility to the global user base. A lot of users, some of them actually, they are unaware. They don't even know what is a MetaMask. They don't know how to do the signature. They don't even know how to to integrate with the DeFi, etc. So at current moment, centralized exchange is providing a flexibilities to them. But within the industries goes by and also the more mature of the infrastructures, more mature of the educations, we hope we are able to transfer or able to let those user base able to fully understand how to use their wallets, how to integrate their wallet address, etc. Yeah.
Thank you. And also, it's it opens up the door to a lot of scams, right? Like the Web3 world has opened the door to a lot of scams that usually people aren't accustomed to. I know a lot of the older people in my groups, they like to stay with centralized exchanges and just stick with them because that's what they know best, and they haven't really had any issues with like social engineering or any problems like that, and it's just worked out best for them. So I just wanted to talk about recent milestones and achievements and what you've had over the past few years. So I want to start off with Ben. What's a recent milestone and achievement that you've had over the past year?
Well, today we announced that we're launching our first application layer or sub network called a Metagraph. We're launching that November 13th. It's been in the works coming. It's been very complex. We've got a team of engineers that just want to make sure everything gets perfect. So that's probably the biggest milestone. It's really us coming opening up our network, which is pretty exciting. And then we'll be launching our first Metagraph token shortly thereafter on BitForex. Working with Uphold and their professionalism has been amazing. BitForex's professional has been amazing. It's kind of like this whole new era of crypto that everybody's professional now and offers customer support and it wants to get along and it's not about trying to hedge one another and get one over on you. So I would say that's a huge achievement for the space is just seeing that new lens on how, companies like BitForex and Uphold are working and they want to get to quality projects and they want to support their vision. It was amazing seeing BitForex kind of lean into the whole Metagraph story, knowing that we're going to be having tokens on our network and willing to support that. Like that to me was like, They understood a technical vision. They were willing to work with us on that, and that's a very hard thing to achieve. And Uphold and what they're the ability to create an on ramp, see us as one of the protocols they wanted to integrate early on. We're not a top 50 project yet. We will shortly, but that was really great to kind of. Build that relationship. I'm seeing that like there is a turn coming on in the entire space. Beyond that, I think one of the big achievements was actually getting data at scale coming from a piece of hardware that's in your house or brick and mortar and go right to a distributed ledger and show that to a community, the data that these devices collect and the frequency. right? You can actually start to understand data. The other kind of notable achievement this week is that we became a sole source contract with the US government. So meaning that we're actually billing the government directly versus actually going after project-based funding, which they call the Small Business and Innovation Research Fund. And now we're actually like billing them for a lot of the research and development that's actually helped improve our technical roadmap and prioritize features, functionalities from an actual end customer that can scale extremely, extremely large and across agencies, across their uses. So I think those have been some massive milestones that we've had this year that just make me so, it makes me excited to be in this space and see kind of the innovation come alive in so many different ways.
Yeah, it's great to hear some progression happening and happening well. Robin, can you please speak about any milestones and achievements?
Yeah, so I'm going to keep harping on Topper. Topper is I'm excited about it because we just launched it this year. It's something that has been sort of in the game plan for some time, but we launched it this year. And it leverages our systems that we use for the consumer side. So we've done billions of dollars of card transactions in our history, and our systems are really pretty sophisticated. And so that allows us to have higher approval rates. The number one problem, that a lot of these on-ramps are having is just low approval rates. And, that doesn't help mass adoption, does it? Right. Like people are like, gosh, this doesn't even work. So when we launched, we launched with, projects that we, are close to. Constellation is a project which, we have a guy named Dr. Martin Hiesenbach. He's much, better spoken than I am, but he also does, is really out there just researching, what he thinks are the best projects. And so Constellation was one of those that, he sort of picked early on as one that, we really need to get integrated with. We really need to, get in early with. We support their token, their chain, and all of these things are tied to any of the projects and innovation that happen on Constellation. In addition, we started with just the basics. Okay, you can buy with Visa, MasterCard, big deal. Adding Google Pay, Apple Pay, kind of big deal. We're launching Latin American rails. So that's where it starts to get a bigger deal, right? And so it's what I was talking about earlier in terms of making it just open to more and more. And this is where I come from, is that this payment space and getting, these additional ways for making it easier for people to pay. And all of this has resulted in, I guess, achievement, which is that we're growing really rapidly. We're getting picked up. I think we're now in like 15 different projects, non-custodial wallets, et cetera. And we're now starting to sign some of the big, can't really say which ones they are, but some of the biggest sort of non-custodial wallets that are out there. And that's really exciting for us because it now puts us into, these much bigger projects and flows that, and sort of back to let them do their thing. And it was talked about earlier in terms of, Jason was speaking about, how you have kind of the conflict, but you've got the non-custodial side, which is delivering on, all sort of the trustless piece. And then you've got the regulated side, which is the centralized piece. And I don't know the exact numbers, but for a while it was like 50-50 in terms of like overall activity that was happening. And so, you know, now I feel excited because we've always been just on that regulated, centralized side of things, but now we've got a product in Topper that allows us to participate and help grow the other side, which is the non-custodial, decentralized side.
Sounds exciting, Jason. How about you?
Yeah. So mainly we have a three stage. One, we have accomplished a major upgrade about our platforms that will be included on the UI and trading functions, product designs, user experience side. Secondly, we have been target a few domestic market. As I just mentioned, we are fully crypto to crypto trading platforms. However, we do have partners with all the third parties payment solutions and domestic compliance exchange. There's two countries we are currently focusing at. One is a Korean market, and secondly is an Indonesian market. However, due to the confidence issues, we can't disclose more details. But once we finish all the integrations, we will be able to use a domestic exchange to do the fiat on-ramp and off-ramp. And in the same time, in the Korean market, there's a travel rules, which is forbid those exchange without white label to transfer the domestic exchange to the external foreign exchange. If we are able to accomplish that, they will be much more flexible for the transactions between exchange to exchange, wallets to wallets. Yeah, so definitely we are very looking forward because Indonesia, India, and Korea is definitely a very highly potential market in our point of view. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. And Ben, do you have any forward-looking statements? What are you most excited about moving forward with Constellation?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've covered a lot of that. I think there's a lot that we're bringing to the table in terms of operating operational transparency into businesses. And I'm really looking forward to kind of the evolution of, you know, on-ramps, finding people to come into the space, make it easy for them, make it safe, knowing that businesses have compliance, going to exchanges that believe in the technology, that are putting that forward and they're marketing against that. All of these things that are finding new ways to do exchange to exchange integrations and into wallets. Like, I think that's brilliant. I think for me, I'm most excited beyond just Constellation, because I kind of said our achievements that make me excited, but is really kind of seeing this just the space mature in a way that just makes it safe for people this time around. And it's like, I don't know how many more times crypto is going to get another shot at this. So they got to do it this time. You know, it's like everybody's got to work together. It's a team sport, right? That's why communities are here. And then I'm most excited about a lot of our work on the enterprise side. Building a board of directors that's from some amazing thought leaders behind the scenes that I'm excited to talk about, and launching our first Metagraph with real world value and kind of data resilience at the core. So it's an exciting future ahead of us into 2024.
Thanks, Ben. And Robin, how about you? Forward looking statements?
Yeah, I feel like done my fair share of discussion around Uphold and Topper. So I think just in general, you know, it definitely feels like, you know, we're going to have another shot, right? Like everything's kind of, it's amazing how resilient this industry is, right? You know, I think I've been through three cycles, you know, in the 8 years that I've been in blockchain. And you know, and so I do feel like we're coming into another big positive cycle, which is awesome. But, you know, hopefully it's we have a lot more armor on this time. And, you know, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, the next shot. And we're, you know, as a company, we're really preparing for that. Because I think that at some point it's really, it has to mature, right? We can't say we're in, 1998 of the internet, for 10 years, right? You probably heard that. Oh yeah. We're the early days of blockchain. It's like, well, yeah, but we've been in the early days of blockchain for what, 10 years. So let's get out of this early day sort of, thought pattern and actually have some, big time real world adoption and use cases and flow. And I know it's there. I mean, I can see that it's there. It just has to kind of all come together and materialize. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Thanks. And Jason, forward looking statements.
Yeah. So as Robin said, we are at a very early stage, but we felt that the adoptions to the communities more important, like early stage of the internet. Actually, I really cannot tell or remember when I switched from writing an email by using my smartphone, or when is already the internet able to adopt to my daily life. I cannot really remember the exact time or exact years that's happened to me. That's what I felt. Maybe the blockchain technology is going to happen in the similar ways. When some days or when sometimes the time is come, we finally realize, oh, the blockchain text message, when I'm answering a phone, when I go to the doctors, the data, like we suddenly realize all the things around us is all related with blockchain technology. I think that's the time that the blockchain is really adopted in our daily life and have a massive adoptions. And secondly, for the cryptocurrency, we are really looking forward for the on the concept of the RWX. However, we felt it still need to take time to fully accept and adopt the cryptocurrency. It still took a long time. It's a kind of a breaking the mutual interest between countries to countries, citizens or community between governments, etc. So we still think that's going to take time, but we are really looking forward. At least the approval for the ETF is going to be one big step. But that's what we are thinking at the current moment.
All right. So I'd like to just remind everybody in the audience that if you're not subscribed to Genfinity, to make sure to subscribe to Genfinity. We've got a ton of great spaces coming up. We have multi-chain space. Blockchain Backer will be on here, as well as Alliance Block. And they'll be speaking about real world assets, as well as Galaxy and their social wallet. And I'd like to give a special thanks to Ben, Robin, and Jason. Thank you so much for coming on today and shedding light into all the things that we've discussed. You guys did a great job in articulating everything that's going on.
Thank you, guys. That was awesome. Really appreciate the time. And Robin, thanks for staying up. And Jason, thank you for making yourself available during your workday. Really appreciate it, guys. This is really
thanks
fun.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Better to meet you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate you from Genfinity. Signing out. All right. See you guys.
Signing out. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. Bye. Bye.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting knives. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politics.
like I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality, stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage, like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible, when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality, stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.